The Lord our God. One God. Amen. I'm so glad when we all get to heaven, when we see the throne, there won't be three, there'll be
one. Come on now.
Can I get a praise the Lord? Amen. We just welcome and we bless the Lord, amen, for all of his goodness and for his mercies. And thank God that God is God.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God. I listened to these testimonies about these jobs. Thank God people are God. Amen. We have a lot of trouble. I can give some testimonies about the job too, but we've heard enough. Amen. Amen. Truly, God is good and his mercy endures forever. I'm going to give you just a small praise on the church. Now, small praise report on the church. Now, you know we've been trying to raise the funds for the church. Amen. And you know, I think they have different classification of church. They have large. They have medium, they have small, and then they got something between small. I think we're between the small. Amen, but it's a challenge, amen. And when we went into to purchase the church, they started off with $389,000. Then God blessed us and negotiated down to $300,000. And then because of some other scenarios, we were able to get it down to like $270,000, $73,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. Amen. And we were dealing with the loan institution. And size of our church and our income, he said, you're too small. But how many know God can make up the difference?
Yeah.
Come on, I said, how many know that God can make up the difference? Amen. And, you know, during the process of time, we start off, he said, well, why don't you put $25,000 down? So we start off at $25,000 down. He said, oh, too small. Let's go a little higher. So then he went up to $46,000. He said, won't work, still too small. Then he went up to $60,000. He said, won't work, still too small. I said, well, how about if we give $100,000? He said, $100,000? Yeah, if you're gonna give $100,000, you gotta give me a plan for this. Cause I see what you got, amen. So he said, you're gonna have to give me a plan for $100,000. So I gave him the plan. And what he didn't tell me is he didn't think we could do it, so he put our application on hold. Amen. Because the plan was, he said, now you can't tell me what faith can do because we are an financial institution and we don't look at the faith, we look at what the book says. Can we say, but God?
But God.
Come on, but God. Hallelujah. Amen. We knew it wasn't floating around in here, now that some of you all were hiding. We knew it wasn't floating around in here, amen. And we started from April until about September. We had raised $36,000. So what he said was this. He said, why don't you put the application in after you have a little more time to grow and increase your numbers and increase your income? Amen. But how many know when God's fighting your battles? I said, when God's fighting your battles. Amen. So I said, well, we don't want to do that because God made us a promise. The bishop came from Georgia. We went through the church and we prayed for it. He said, the church is yours. So when God makes you a promise, how will he, like Abraham said? Abraham, the Bible said, was not partially persuaded, not halfway persuaded, but he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to bring it to pass. Amen. So from April until September, we raised $36,000. Amen. And things were challenging. Can we say challenging? Amen. But between September and now, God bless us and we're up to $115,000. Can we say praise the Lord? Come on, can we say praise the Lord? Amen. And on Friday, I'm not going to go over tonight. On Friday, I went over some things that is important for us as a church. Amen. God blesses the church when we do what God tells us to do. God blesses the church, not when we do what I say do, but when we do what God tells us to do. So on Friday night, we went over a series on tithes and offering and the importance it is for us giving. So we're going to ask you at the end of service, ushers have the CD. One of our challenges in giving our tithe and offering, the church won't have to struggle. So he said, well, we don't like this idea of you only accepting $300 a week, because nobody today can live off of $300 a week. Amen? Right? Y'all know that. Anybody make $300 when you struggle? Amen? But I said, well, my wife is getting a small pension and a little disability, so we'll be all right. He's like, well, we don't like that too much because we think halfway through the year you're going to increase your salary. I said, no, I'll make a statement. I'm a man of my word. I'm not going to lie before God. If I say $300, $300. But what I'm saying is this. I'm making a sacrifice. Can we just do what God asks us to do?
Amen.
Don't do above it. Just do what God says. Just pay your tithes and offering, and the church will be all right. Amen. Let us stand. Let us stand. Amen. I'm going to ask if all the adults could just get a copy of the tape. Now, when we don't do what God tells us as far as tithes and offering, guess what the scripture says? You are what? I can't even change that for you. Amen. I can't change it for you. Amen. So let's just be faithful to God. And the one message, you know, even as leaders, pastors, assistant pastors, we get challenges. Now, we had a lot of challenges, but we would never tell you all along the way, because we didn't want you all to get discouraged. But one of the things that God did is when we went down to Middletown, the service about letting God out the box, that was me first. Amen. Because you know what we have a tendency to do? We have a tendency to put God in a box and limit God. But the Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you want. Ask for. So whatever you ask or think, God can exceed that according to the power that works in you. So we believe God, amen, and we know it's all in God's hand, amen. And the one thing, the scripture that we use in letting God out of the box is God told Asa, he said, now when you had a great challenge, you depended on me. Amen. He said, but then when the challenge was small, you depended on man. He said, herein thou hast done foolishly. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through 16 in your spare time if you want to read it. He said, verse 9, he said, behold, the eyes of the Lord. Can we see the eyes of the Lord? Come on, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. Not just part of the earth, not just in Troy, but God is looking all over the world for those whose
heart.
Somebody say, I don't have it. Where is your heart at? For those whose hearts are perfect. Amen. Tonight, whatever you want, amen. If it's a relationship, if it's a house, if it's a job, just make sure your heart is right. And then when your heart is right, I heard Solomon say he'd give you, delight thyself in the
Lord.
Delight thyself in the Lord. And your heart is right, and he will give you the
heart.
Can we say praise the Lord? Everybody's looking at me funny. That's right. We get ready to get into the word now. Amen. All right, we're going to read verses 1 of Psalms 44, 9, and then we'll skip down to verse 15. Amen. Verses 1 through 9, then we'll skip down to 15 if you have your
Bible.
I'm so glad that Jesus, amen. Anybody been bound by some stuff? Anybody that needs to be saved? I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Some situations had me bound, glory to God, but Jesus lifted me. I'm excited. I'm not excited because we're going into a church. I'm excited because I know who the Lord is. And I know what God can do. Verse 1 reads. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the Son of Man, that thou makest account of him. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Do what?
Come down.
Did you feel you got one of those situations, Lord? I need you to bow the heavens. And I need you to come down, touch the mountains, and they shall fall. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouths speak vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and upon an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praise unto thee. Now verse 15. Happy is thy people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Once again, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we glorify you this afternoon, and we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you're God, hallelujah, and you're God all by yourself. Lord, we bless you for your goodness. Lord, we bless you for your mercy. Lord, we bless you for your kindness. Lord, we bless you in the name of Jesus for being our God. And Lord, on this afternoon, as we stand in thy presence, and Lord, we know that in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Lord, as we stand in thy presence, at this time we ask you to remove self. Lord, remove pride. Lord, remove selfish ambitions. And Lord, send now thine anointing. Lord, send your anointing to break every yoke. Lord, send your anointing to heal. Lord, send your anointing to deliver. Lord, send thine anointing to set free. Now, Lord, all these blessings we're going to claim, can the church say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Come on, can we say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen, and you may be seated. The great singer sings a song. There is no God. There is
no God
like our God. Amen. And the scripture says concerning our God that he is faithful.
Yes, he is.
People may let you down. People may disappoint you, but never our God. God is faithful to 1,000 generations. His faithfulness is never in question. Amen. We just thank God. Hallelujah. That when everything else fails and comes down, we can still look unto. I said, when everything else fails to come down, we can still look unto who is the author. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't know faith. Because he started it, he originated it, and only Jesus will finish it. So if you don't know Jesus, you don't know faith. Amen. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. David, hearing this song, ask God to teach me to war and teach my fingers to fight. Our message this afternoon is no sitting ducks in church. No sitting ducks in church. A sitting duck don't fight. A sitting duck just sits there. God forbid that I can be saved and just sit in church. When I realize how good God has been to me. So David said, Lord, teach my hands to war and teach my fingers to fight. Now, when you think of a sitting duck, amen, I don't know how many of you have ever hollered and tried to shoot a duck. It's easy to shoot a
sitting duck.
But it's hard to shoot a flying duck. I'm afraid too many in church have allowed their situations to overwhelm them to the point that they're just sitting in church and have become nothing more than a sitting duck. No aggression, amen, no faith, no trust, allowing the situation to get the advantage. In church, but just sitting there. No longer having a testimony. No longer doing for God because of the overwhelming situation. I can understand what the psalmist meant when he said, Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed. He said, Lord, when I can't help myself. Lord, when I can't figure out where my help is coming from, lead me to the rock that is. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. No sitting ducks in church. The sitting duck, John in the book of Revelation called them lukewarm. They're neither hot and they're not cold. They are lukewarm. In other words, they're in church. Hallelujah, but no zeal, no fire, no determination from God. Every time the adversary sends something their way, instead of accepting the challenge and leaning on the everlasting arm of God, they sit there. You don't want to be a sitting duck in church. You're an easy target for the devil. You're not moving. You're not going forward. You're not going backward. How can you be saved for so many years and be unproductive in the kingdom of God? Not when God has been so good. Not when God has been a way maker. Not when God has solved all of my problems. Not when God has healed. Not when God has delivered. And not when God has set free. Hallelujah. So I refuse to be a sitting duck in church. When you're a sitting duck, you're an easy target for the devil. Amen. You don't have to look far, because every time he needs to find you, you're sitting in the same place. Amen. I don't like to use sports a lot, but it's sort of like when we used to play basketball and we were teaching kids to run plays. He said, now when your defender leaves you, don't let him come and find you standing in the same place. Because it's easy for him to keep you in check. So when the defender turns his head, it's time for you to move. We don't want to necessarily tie it in the basketball, but too many in church just sitting there. Amen. When you think of how good God has been. Oh, Lord, thank you. I don't have to look back far. I can look back from when I came to church, how God kept me. Over the highways, hallelujah, how God kept me. I don't have to look back far, amen, to realize that what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me. I'll take the cup of salvation, hallelujah. You might not want to call on God, but I'll call on the name of the Lord because he's been good. He's been a way maker. He's been faithful. He's been my deliverer. He's been my father. He's been my mother. He's been my sister. He's been my brother. He's been a spouse. He's been my everything. So how can I help? Hallelujah. But praise the Lord. I can't be in church a sitting duck. Amen. God is blessing and using others to bring people to Christ and giving, using others to give a testimony, and I can't even muster up enough energy in church to be used by God because of the overwhelming circumstances. I'm just in church. Amen. Has God done anything for you? Has God made ways out of no way? Hallelujah. When they said it couldn't be done, did God turn it around? If God has done that much for you, if God has shown up in your circumstances, God, I'm trying to figure out, why are you sitting in church? I know three that was diagnosed with cancer at a young age. But God. But even the doctors had given up on some of them and said it's in the hand of a higher power. Hallelujah. I remember as kids, I remember my mother told us, y'all out of my hand, y'all in God's hands. Do you realize those are the best hands to be in? Amen. Somebody said, all around me is seeking sin. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I can't have confidence in anything else. I can't trust in anybody else. Jesus. Nobody else can turn me around like Jesus. Nobody else, Lord, can fix me like Jesus. Can we say no sitting ducks? Come on, no sitting ducks. In church, you can sit down for a minute. I refuse to be lukewarm. I refuse. When I think about what God has made. Now, one of the things that the devil likes to do to the church is he uses a whole lot of talk about nothing to make you do nothing. Don't you know what you have done? Don't you know what you believe? Paul said, I know whom I believe. I don't care what anybody else say, you know what you believe and you know what you've done. Why are you allowing a little bitty talk?
Come on.
To make you a sin duck in church. And you know what God has done. Don't you know the devil is the biggest bluffer there ever was? If he's the biggest bluffer, why are you allowing his bluff to make you stagnant in church? I come to church. I come to prayer. I praise the Lord. But I don't have any joy. I don't have any peace. Somebody said, well, why are you going to church? Well, I'm just so used to it. You know, we went over this a few months ago. A lot of us, when it comes to church, we be on what they call Autotron. Amen? Mm-hmm. Autotron is a nice name for being a robot.
Yes.
Well, why are you in church? Because that's what I've always done. Shouldn't church be more then that's what I've done?
Come on.
When God has been so good? Shouldn't church be more than robotism? Just going through all the motions? Shouldn't there be a greater appreciation for what God has done? Amen. When you watch the news and you see the catastrophes and you see the dangers and you see how so many families are being ill affected by people that are just negligent, and you can look back and count your blessings.
Right.
Count your love unto God has kept. Others have been destroyed, but God has kept yours. Shouldn't you have a mind to praise the Lord? Shouldn't you have a mind to thank God? Amen. Take your eyes off in the storm. It's time to look
unto Jesus.
I said, take your eyes off of the storm. Sure, the wind is blowing. Sure, it's trouble all around. Yes, we're trouble on every side. But I'm Peter. As long as I got my gaze on Jesus, I said, as long as I got my eyes on Jesus, now the water was troubled, the waves were blowing, the ship was going up and down. But as long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he walked above the storm. I said he walked above the storm. Why? Because he had his eyes Maybe the reason you're sinking is because the trials have worked on you in such a way that your eyes are no longer
on Jesus.
On Jesus. As long as he walked with his eyes on Jesus, everything was all right. The devil was convinced. So the storm got greater. Can we say greater?
Greater.
In Agape, we had some great storms. But we're determined. I said we're determined that our eyes will be on Jesus. We're determined, hallelujah, that we're going to be found standing on the rock, and the rock is Jesus. The reason that some of us have become sitting ducks, now if you're in a storm and you're sinking, anything and everything can shoot at you, and you can't run. Because you are a
sitting duck.
Come on, y'all know what it is, right? You are what?
Sitting duck.
It's easy to shoot a sitting duck. How have we permitted our trials, our tests, our situation to completely immobilize us? Not going forward, not going backward, not doing anything. Just one of the pew sitters in church. Have no desire to do for God. Have no desire to give back. When we come to church, you know, it's just like a husband, wife. If my wife does something for me, guess what? She expects me to. Y'all have a husband and wife? Y'all got a husband and wife? Y'all got to learn this in a hurry. Let me teach you this one. If he does for you, you better do. And if she does for you, you better do. Well, how much has God done for us? Are you reciprocating? Are you giving back to God for all that he has? Are you just in church as a
sitting duck?
Amen. I ain't gonna quack, and I'm not gonna quack, and I'm not gonna be half back. Amen. I figured I had to get a smile out of some of y'all, but some of y'all are really serious. We can't be a sitting duck in church because of God's goodness. Amen. What are you doing for God when God has done so much for you? Amen. Anyone ever heard of Custer's Last Stand? General Custer's Last Stand. One of the problems, as great a general as he was, and I didn't realize to the day that he graduated from West Point, as great a general as he was, part of his problem is he was always going opposite of what the leadership was doing. So on his last stand, when he was going against, I guess it was Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull. Amen. I know you didn't come for history. I'll give you just a small amount of them. He was going against the Indians. I believe in 1876. And they told him, "You're outnumbered. Wait for the backup." But he didn't want to listen. He's like, "If I wait for the backup, they might escape." But the general Terry, who was in charge, said, "Wait. Don't move. Don't do anything until we get there." But because he did not want to take heed and did not want to listen, he had about 700 men. He split the 700 men up into three different platoons to attack the Indians at that time. I believe the Cheyenne and the Sioux Indians. He was going to attack them at that time. And he had planned, they were coming from all different angles to attack the Indians because he had got a report, but it wasn't altogether accurate. If he had but listen to leadership and waited, he would never have suffered the loss of his men and his life. But the reason he suffered that is because he engaged them in battle, and they were surrounded, and they were a bunch of sitting ducks.
Mm-hmm.
His entire platoon was destroyed. Every last one of them. Yes, the great General Custer, but he would not heed the warning. They said, wait, don't go yet. Just wait for you to get some backup. So they said, no one really knows the true story, because the only account they had was from years later from the Indians. But they know that they became a bunch of sitting ducks, surrounded by the Indians, because they refused to listen. Proverbs 11:18 said, where there is no counsel, the people will fall. The reason you have leadership and people in position is to prevent you from falling. Amen. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, the church is not designed to run your life, but the church of leadership is there to help direct your steps. That's why God told Jeremiah to tell the people, he said, I've given you pastors after my own heart, that they may feed you with knowledge and understanding. Somebody said, well, I can get the same thing. You won't get what a pastor gets, because the Bible refers to him as the watchman on the wall. Now, when you're on the wall, you can see further than the people that's down in the city. If General Custer had only listened to the general that was on the wall, he would not have suffered loss. I wonder how many today are suffering loss because they won't heed the counsel of a man on the wall. Amen. The church is never, God never intended for the church to dictate your life. But the church is there to order your steps aright. Amen? All right, now, come on, y'all, leave. I'm about to say preach by myself. Amen? General Custer suffered loss because he did not heed. When you don't get counsel, and it's your choice, counsel is designed to prevent you from suffering loss. Without counsel, the people what? Fall. That represents a government. That counsel in that scenario represents a government that is leading the people. When you don't have the right government, you will fall. I don't care how. Listen, God's word is fixed. Cannot be altered, cannot be changed for anyone. If you don't get good counsel, you will. But in the multitude of counsel there is, well, why do I need counsel? As the great apostle Paul summed it up in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the darts. The reason you need counsel is the wiles of the devil are the schemes. He's moving. He's setting you up.
Yes, he is.
When you don't get counsel, you fall for the setup.
Yes.
But when you get counsel, God prevents you from falling.
Amen.
Against the wiles of the adversary, we have to put on what? The whole armor of God. And then he goes on to explain why. He said, you think it's that person on your job. You think it's the person in your neighborhood. For we wrestle not against. It's not the person. It's not the person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, wherefore I encourage you to put on the whole armor of God, and having done all to stand. My question this afternoon is, have you done all to stand? Well, if you've done all to stand, you ought to have all the whole armor. Can we say the whole armor?
The whole armor.
Now let's go through the armor. Amen. Let's do our, can we say, armor checklist? Because if you are a moving duck, you still got to be protected. Amen. You still need to be protected. Amen. So he says unto them, wherefore I encourage you. He said, you need to have the breastplate of righteousness. You need to have the Lord's covered with truth. Anytime you start moving in a lie, you don't have the armor. If anytime you're moving in falsities and vanity, you don't have the whole armor. So we have to have our loins first, what? Gird about the truth. Then we have to have on the breastplate of
righteousness.
Well, why is the loin so important? Because the loin houses your soul. So before you can go any further in God, the first thing you need to protect is your soul. Then after you protect the soul, you have to protect the heart. That's why you have on the breastplate of righteousness. Then your feet shod with the preparation of gospel. Well, what are you doing? I'm trying, hallelujah, to not be a sitting duck. I want to be protected. I want God to help me. Amen. Your feet shared with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, why do you need faith? Because the devil never stops. He keeps shooting those fiery darts. When you sleep, he's shooting the darts. When you're driving down the street, he's still shooting. Amen. When you're in church, he's still shooting. So you need the shield of faith so that you can fight off all those fiery darts of the devil. Hallelujah. He's looking for a weakness. He's looking for a part that's not covered by the armor. And if I were to, we're not finished, but we're just going to stop there for a minute. If I were to check, am I exposed? Am I exposed where the armor is not protecting me and the devil is constantly shooting at me? Have I made myself a sitting duck by not putting on the whole armor of God? The soul, the heart. What have I exposed myself in any kind of way that I'm allowing the devil to shoot through my armory because I have not put on the whole armor? Say, well, I see such and such, they do it. The Bible said we have to give an account to God for ourselves. We must work out our own
salvation.
Work out your own
salvation
with fear and trembling. Amen. So we got the shield of faith. Then we must take the sword of the Spirit, which is after you do all of your protecting and covering, now you need an offensive weapon, which is the Word of God. Do we study God's Word? Do we apply God's Word to our situations? Or do we expose ourselves by not having the sword of the Spirit? And he said, and the last thing you need to do is protect your mind. The devil is shooting. He's attacking. But do you have on the helmet of? Is your mind protected? Is your mind kept? All of that is part of the armor. Any part of the armor, though you may be moving, makes you susceptible to injury. We need to put on the whole armor of God so we stop becoming sitting ducks. And most people don't like to refer to this as the part of the armor. But the last thing he says in Ephesians 6:18, he says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You got to use that Holy Ghost language to get a hold of God. That makes up the whole armor. And that if we do a checklist, is there any part of the armor that we do not have? Is there anything that's not protected? Is there anything that's not kept as we stand? Or have we made ourselves sitting ducks? Have we made ourselves sitting ducks by refusing to be obedient to God's word? God told Saul, the king, to obey as the elders and the ministers come forward as we all stand. He said to obey is better than sacrifice. I wonder how many of us this afternoon are sacrificing but are not obeying the word of God. It's not the man, it's not the person, whoever is up here, is God's word. That's why we don't pray for Lord help me, but we pray for God to send the anointing. Because the anointing is the word of God. The same word, when it's anointed, will meet every need according to his riches and glory. I wonder this afternoon, have we in church become sitting ducks? Because we will not be obedient to the word of God. God's word won't change and he won't alter any of us. Can we purpose? I won't be a general custer. I will heed wise counsel. And then I will walk in obedience to God. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed thereto according to thy word, and thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We are in a war. Whether you choose to realize it or not, the devil is fighting to take you down, and God is there to bring you up. You make the decision. Only you can make that decision. You can't make it based on anyone or anything else. Your decision has to be based on your relationship with God. That's why the Apostle Paul said that I may know him. Not hear about it. We need to have an intimate relationship with God in order to make it in this life.
Just have every eye closed.